I come with hope. I come with joy. I come with an open heart, having been introduced already to a wonderful search committee. They have worked so, so hard. And I can't find the words to express my gratitude for their faith, for their vision, for the way that they persevered, even though they were exhausted, even though they were frustrated, even though the road was blocked so many times. Through them, I have experienced hope, renewed joy, and the building of unconditional love for a journey yet to be discerned. That's what faith is about, right? Believing in each other, and sometimes paying attention to those little signs, those little detours that takes us to unknown places that turn out to be just what we wanted but didn't know it. The journey is daunting because we don't have all the answers. But here we are. Here we are, people of faith, congregated, committed to a liberal faith that articulates our worth, our dignity, our hope for healing this broken world, our hope and our love for a denomination that stands on the side of love. That's what I'm bringing here, a deep belief in standing on the side of love and of our true, true calling to become a beloved community, a place where we can bring our whole selves. And I'll talk about that a little bit more later on. For now, know that I don't stand here alone. I have with me my family. I have with me the spirit, the joy, and the encouragement of my mother, Lily. Today being Mother's Day, we're far away from each other, but never far away from our hearts. Far away from my son, Eric, who called me this morning to wish you a happy day. A happy Mother's Day, a happy Father's Day, a happy Parents' Day, a happy Family with or without Children Day. He said, tell them that they're lucky. That they're lucky because they are together and they've embarked on a journey. So here we are on this blue boat that you call home. This beautiful, sacred space that you've created. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I do hope that we will listen to each other's stories. I hope that we'll find joy and hope and embark on a journey with a faith that is beyond words. And I give you my open heart. I give you my genuine affection, for I have known you through these beautiful people from the search committee who have given testimony to your faith, to your commitment to social justice, to your commitment to building a community of trust, of joy, to make this life meaningful, to make meaning of life, joys, sorrows, and everything in between. Thank you for welcoming me with open arms. Let us now bring ourselves to a space of worship and joy. Good morning again. Thank you for being such a welcoming and warm congregation. I feel blessed to be in your presence. I love telling stories. I grew up in a family that encouraged storytelling as part of our everyday lives. As a minister, I believe that storytelling can be healing and transformational. Storytelling is also part of my theology, a belief that the divine is constantly speaking to us, whispering, conspiring with us, making meaning of our lives when we share our stories, when we listen deeply to others' concerns, joys, hopes. I believe that storytelling is ministry, that sharing our stories is at the heart of building the beloved community. Speaking the truth in love and engaging in intentional, beloved conversations can be life-changing. Sharing stories upholds our third principle, the acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregation. I call this soul work, the spiritual practice of stretching our hearts to hold each other's stories without judgment. Anne Lamott writes that sharing stories about our lives, our feelings, and memories can help us become more aware, more conscious. She writes, "Don't be afraid of your own material. Don't be afraid of the past. Be afraid of wasting any more time obsessing about how you look and about how people might see you. You must risk placing real emotion, vulnerability, at the center. Don't worry about appearing sentimental. Worry about being unavailable. Worry about being absent. Tell the truth as you understand it. You have a moral obligation to do this, and it is a revolutionary act. Truth is always subversive," she said. I believe that the spirit of life is always present in our hearts, speaking to us, revealing the wonder, the mystery, and beauty that is all around us, even behind the clouds. Yes, I believe in signs, in magic, and in miracles. But this is a Unitarian Universalist church. Yes, I believe in signs and miracles. I believe in the people who roll up their sleeves, show up, and make the magic and miracles happen every single day in the most insignificant moments of our lives that turn out to be critical and oh so magic. These are the people who inspire and encourage me, the everyday people who are the gardeners, the cooks, the nurses, the teachers, the backstage folks who make magic happen at committee meetings, whose words are carefully crafted and chosen to build bridges among us, the frontline leaders who dare to break silence, to tell the truth as they see it, to speak truth to power, the people who dare to change the lyrics from "There is more love somewhere" to "There is more love right here. There is more love right here. I'm gonna keep on till we find it. There is more love right here." Amen. Amen. And this is still a Unitarian Universalist church. Yes. Yes. I don't know if you've heard the story of how I met your search committee. Have you heard the story? It is magic. It is a miracle, let me tell you. Bear with me if you've heard it more than once. In February, I received an email from Heidi Green that went something like, "We recently checked our webpage and it appears that you have expressed interest in our congregation. We understand that you are in Boston, and if you would like to set up an initial Skype or phone interview, please let us know." Little did she know that I was in Berkeley that day. Yeah, talk about signs, talk about magic. I was presenting at the UU Scholars Conference at Star King School for the Ministry. And my mother was with me that day. So when they found out I was nearby, we scheduled an interview and we met on a Sunday afternoon. I had no idea the ordeal they had already been through that day. But we met. And it was magic. And it was a miracle. I had never been in search before, so I didn't know what to expect from this interview. But I brought my whole self. And we laughed, and we cried, and we talked about our strength and vulnerabilities, about our aspirations and our fears and all of our hopes. We both wondered, just like in speed dating, well, what attracted you to me? What could we possibly have in common? But rather than dwell on the obvious differences, we spoke passionately about our commitment to social justice. We spoke about our calling to making this world right here, right now, a more just, peaceful, and loving place. We spoke about our yearning for deeper connections with our best selves, with each other, and with our neighbors. We spoke about how to build this elusive, beloved community. How to grow a vibrant, multicultural, anti-racist congregation and develop strong, genuine, authentic community partnerships beyond these walls while tending to the spiritual needs of all of us. To grow or not to grow was not the question, but rather how to grow. How to grow not only in numbers, but also in strength, intentionality about the ways that we care for each other. To grow our hearts wider so that we can practice radical hospitality not only for those of us who are here, but those of us who are still to come, having the table set and ready, waiting for them. To grow our faith so that we can envision a future of abundance, to see that sunshine behind the clouds. It is challenging to speak of abundance when we face real financial struggles that can act as obstacles to our visions for the future and that seem to limit our hopes. Across this nation, we hear about the financial realities facing our small UU congregations and churches in general. We hear about the need and the yearning to become more multicultural and more connected with the people from our surrounding neighborhoods. We look at our numbers, our demographics, our budgets, our building, our staff, our programs, and we begin to speak in terms of what we lack, what we don't have. Now, it is good and healthy to take stock, to reflect upon the resources and what might be possible. But as someone who identifies as a person of color, Latina, committed to building the beloved multicultural community, I am often asked, how can we get more people of color in the pews and make diversity happen within our UU churches? Yes, they ask me. And I reply every time with a smile. Some churches have sold their properties to move to more urban areas in order to feel more connected to more diverse populations. Some churches are intentional about establishing strong community partnerships and practicing radical hospitality so that the presence of people of color is genuine and it is part of the everyday life and conversation of the congregation. Some churches designate special funds to do outreach and hire staff who can implement creative programs to increase the diversity of our memberships. For the most part, we experiment, we try, we do our best. And with mixed results, because invariably there will be folks who prefer a more contemplative services and will stay away from drumming circles, jazz, or gospel services. That's our diversity, right? Some larger churches have gone to two or three services each Sunday to offer more variety in their menus. When I met with your search committee, we talked about these issues. We had a rich dialogue. And I learned that at one point in the history of this congregation, you had considered selling this land and moving to a building that used to be a bank that was in the downtown area to get more traffic and hopefully attract more visitors and potential members. As a visitor who has walked around this beautiful place only once, I am so glad that deal did not go through. Yes. Yes. As someone who identifies as Latin American and indigenous, I appreciate land. I appreciate Mother Earth. Because as indigenous people, we have lost so much. We have lost our sacred spaces that are intimately connected to our spiritual practices. So when Heidi was graciously giving me a tour of the church and the gardens, I felt deep gratitude for what I saw, for the abundance that was before my eyes, native plants thriving, the voice of the water, the beauty of the flowers, the butterflies whimsically fluttering around, and the songbirds. As we walked around, I had visions of having a community garden, a shared garden with families from the community who would come here to work with us, together with us, who would develop friendships and relationships with us, who would share our stories with us and share nutritious community meals. I had visions of the little cottages becoming available for regular yoga and meditation practice, for workshops of all kinds, retreats, Spanish classes for all ages and abilities, arts and crafts, all open to the community. Walking around, I saw the abundance that you have, that you enjoy. I did not just see the land. I did not just see the buildings. I saw the abundance of love in the people. The greatest resources is you. And you are the ones that you have been waiting for. Not an individual minister. Not just one leader. You have in your hearts the leadership, the love, the aspiration and commitment that it takes to part those clouds and allow that sunshine to illuminate your path. As a minister, I am so impressed with your lay leadership and how committed you are to sustaining this community. I am inspired by your generosity of spirit. Building a multicultural, beloved community is a shared journey, a shared ministry. Diversity not only refers to race, but it also includes ethnicity, religion, spiritual practices, immigration status, sexual orientation, gender, gender expression, age, ability, being a trauma survivor, identifying as a person in recovery, being in a family with or without children, adopting children of color, and all the intersectionalities that are possible because we are more than just labels and discrete categories. We are people, complex, beautifully, perfectly perfect in our own way, as Mary Poppins wisely said. We are complex, beautiful people yearning to be seen, yearning to be heard, yearning to be loved unconditionally, to be able to bring our whole selves into every single room we enter. As an immigrant and immigrants' rights advocate, I feel called to denounce our broken immigration system and to participate in its transformation. As a Unitarian Universalist minister, I am proud to be ordained by a denomination that prophetically recognizes immigration justice as a moral issue and calls us to action to end the suffering of undocumented people. I understand that many of you have felt called to respond to the current housing and immigration crisis. This is one of the reasons I am here today. Your commitment, your leadership, your love for justice. I remember that first meeting with the search committee when we talked about las posadas. Las posadas is a Latin American Christmas tradition that I brought to the church where I'm currently serving. Evocative of the journey of Mary and Joseph when they were fleeing violence and searching for shelter. Las posadas brings people together, the families of the congregation, the families of our community partners, and the local neighbors of all faiths. We learn Christmas carols in Spanish and process through the neighborhood singing, even in the snow in Boston, and carrying lit candles. We invite three or four families living within walking distance of the church to volunteer to be the mean neighbors who close the doors and don't let us in, who don't welcome the family. And at last, we reach the church and the doors are thrown wide open and everyone is invited to a community meal with more singing and dancing while the children enjoy playing together and beating two or three piñatas to get all that candy. And people have the opportunity to get to know each other, to share stories, to feel that they're part of a supportive community. And as I was describing this ritual, this new tradition that I brought to my church, a couple of people, or more than a couple, felt very moved, moved to tears by this story. This is another reason why I'm here today. This, for me, was a tremendous sign that the spirit of love is stirring within your hearts. Those tears did not scare me. They let me know that we were both willing to be vulnerable in the presence of each other, that we were both willing to be open, to embark on a shared journey. What potentials do you see when you look around this place, this community? What are you grateful for? And what keeps you coming back? I would love to know. I would love to know more of your stories, of what's in your heart, what makes the clouds part, and what support do you need when the dawn seems to never arrive. I'm going to skip ahead because I know that we want to end on time. So there are words and there are stories that seep into our dreams, into the margins of our souls that can either liberate us or keep us within the narrow margins of societal expectations or so-called traditions. When I was in my 30s, I was wrestling with words. I was wrestling with my own story. How would I describe myself? How would I describe who I was becoming? There was a new me emerging, and I had no words to describe it, me. Everything and everyone told me it was crazy, it was selfish, and that I risked losing family and friends. But there was a stirring in my spirit. There was a stirring in my soul. There was a spirit of life whispering, breathing into me, into my heart, the truth that I could not silence. I was a late bloomer Unitarian Universalist, and coming out as a lesbian, indigenous two-spirit person. During the height of the AIDS epidemic, in New York City, we wore t-shirts that said, "Silence equals death." That work was transformational for me. It opened wide the doors of my heart. It let me in to community. It let me in to Unitarian Universalism, where my son and I found a spiritual home. For that, I will forever be grateful. What does it take to tell our whole story? What is the story you are writing together in this community? I would love to know more. I would love to return to find out what stirs
in your soul, in your heart. Our theology is built on relationship, on our lived everyday experiences with multiple voices. Our lives matter. Our stories matter. Our words matter. They can move us to tears, move us beyond the margins, transform despair into hope, isolation into a sense of belonging. As a late bloomer, Unitarian Universalist, two-spirit person, Catholic girl with deep love for Mary and the saints. Yes, this is still a Unitarian Universalist church. As a scholar and UU minister who wrestles with the meaning of faith, a lover of rituals who celebrates the changes of the seasons and has deep respect and reverence for Mother Earth, I am a believer in the transformative power of faith and the power of each one of our stories. A faith that demands new ways of seeing, new visions, new consciousness, being intentional about making real the aspiration of radical hospitality where we can all bring our whole selves. My faith today is in the everyday things, in the everyday magic of ordinary people just like us, who are capable of extraordinary things, miracles that look and feel like sunshine, like love. Beloveds, let us reclaim the language of our souls. Let us speak our truth in love. Wherever there are parts of us crying to be heard, let us offer each other those words to bring healing, courage, inner peace, and a sense of belonging, a sense of home. May we encourage each other to do our soul work, to practice telling and retelling our stories in our beautiful voices. I believe that there is more peace right here. I breathe it. I believe that there is more justice right here. I see it. I believe that there is more love right here. I feel it. Let us remain open and willing, and let us lift our hearts to the light of change. Amen. Ashe, and blessed be.